You are listening to On Air with JT. This is a JT exclusive interview.
What's going on, everybody? You are listening to On Air with JT. We have an exclusive interview with a very funny comedian by the name of Molly Kornfeld. Thank you so much, Molly, for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm good. Thanks for having me. I'm very excited.
Yeah, I appreciate it. That's awesome. So you're out of New York City right now, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Is that where you're originally from, or?
Yeah, I'm from Brooklyn, Carroll Gardens, actually.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah. So I'm just a New Yorker through and through.
It's crazy. I've only actually been to New York City once. I have to go again soon because I live in Boston, so I'm not that far away.
But oh yeah. You're hot.
Yeah, I went to obviously like Manhattan and then Brooklyn, but I haven't been to any other borough, so I need to definitely go to New York City soon.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a little overwhelming, but it's fun if you kind of know your way around.
Yeah, it's a little overwhelming for sure. and that's especially coming from someone from Boston, you know, which is kind of similar city, but still it's so fucking big. But anyways, I just have to say, you know, you are so funny. I came across your content and, you know, just your deliveries and you know, like your punchlines are just so funny. So I had to obviously reach out to you and, you know, get you on the podcast to get, you know, an interview and definitely like have you, you know, I want to ask you some questions and I want you to promote, you know, what you have going on because the people need to know, they need to know like how funny you are because it's ridiculous how funny you are. Yeah, of course. You know, I love to give people, you know, if I come across someone that I find hilarious or has some sort of talent, you know, I love to try and like showcase and like show off their personality and their whatever they have going on to my audience. To, you know, I love giving, you know, people exposure, you know, however I can, you know, especially people that I see that have a lot of potential, you know, definitely like you. And, you know, we were talking and for the people that don't know, like, when did you originally get into comedy? Let's start there.
Okay. So I think I did it when I was like, I had just graduated college like a year ago. So I was probably 22 or 23.
Okay.
And now I'm 30. So I think like 7 years I started doing it, but I started doing it more as I think like a social thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because the city is big and I had like a job I didn't love and like insurance. So I started with a friend of mine and we just go there some like weekend nights and sort of just drink and have fun. and it sort of started out as more of that, like a hang than really taking it seriously. I don't think I took it seriously for like 6 months or so.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's how it started out. I think I was just bored. And both of my parents had done comedy when they were my age.
Oh, really?
In the city, yeah. That's how they met, at the comic strip in New York.
Wow, so I bet that was a really, like, crazy environment to, like, grow up in. Like, I'm sure reflecting back, like, having both parents being comedians. Like, I'm sure
it was unhinged.
That's crazy to think. I can't even fathom that.
Yeah, it was crazy. And we had, like, there was no stability. Like, no, like, my parents didn't go to work during the day, which I thought was odd.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no, like, stability of like this is when you get your regular paycheck, you know what I mean, because it's yeah. Like you're running around. So I didn't want to do that for the longest time, and then when I was living in the city, I think I was just kind of bored, and so I more started doing it out of like something to do and make friends. Okay. Yeah,
nice. So are you doing comedy full-time or do you work right now as well?
Oh, absolutely no, which does not really pay the bills. Yeah, you know, I waste so much money doing comedy also, because if you think about it, like you do these shows and sometimes you'll get paid like $20, but traveling around New York, especially like on the weekends or at night, like I'm not going to take a train an hour at midnight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's ridiculous.
Like, so I'm going to like get an Uber, and Ubers can be really expensive. And if I'm not home around dinner time, you have to like pick up something to eat, you know?
Yeah,
so
it adds up.
Money really adds up that you don't think about. And like the payment doesn't really cover that. And then, so definitely not enough to live. So I have a day job, like where I do my, like, I'm like an assistant and then
nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. That's how I make my money. So I can do comedy, but it is like, as comedy picks up, it gets harder to do both.
Of course. Yeah. I can only imagine, like, cause I was talking to another comedian, and he was saying how he usually does like 3 to 4 gigs a night and around New York City. And that's just crazy. Like, I can only imagine like having to travel to each borough to like do a fucking, you know, set. That can be a lot.
Oh yeah. It can be a lot, especially if you're not getting paid and you're going to like, I've done it where I think I've been to like in 3 different boroughs for one night.
Wow.
On like a Saturday or something. It's like Manhattan, Queens, Brooklyn, and you're just like traveling around trying to make all these spots.
And usually how much time do you have in between to get like to the next spot?
Oh, it really depends. Like sometimes it'll be a show that's like a couple hours later, so you have time to like mosey and just hang out. But sometimes there are two shows that are technically at the same time, so you ask to go early on and late on the other one, and you're just like running from one to the other.
Wow. That's a lot. That's crazy.
It can really be a lot sometimes.
But it'll definitely pay off. You know, they say you put in 10,000 hours, and they usually say, you know, about 10 years into comedy of taking it serious, you know, it usually starts to pay off. You know, that's definitely a career you don't go in, you know, thinking you're going to make money and everything like overnight or even 5 years into it. I mean, there are like an exception of some comedians that, you know, didn't have to put in 10 years to get their first special or whatever, but that's kind of like a rare commodity, I think. It's not putting down like comedians. It's oversaturated, just like every other market where you have so much talent, but then you also have people that aren't as talented as others. And then the ones that are talented they're so well connected and they're so good at networking where the other comedians that are as funny, they just don't have as big as a platform to be able to, you know, promote and actually showcase their, you know, their talents, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's like it's weird because so much of it is hard work, but also a lot of it is like weirdly luck, like right place, right time.
Definitely.
And like being seen at one, like one thing where someone can find you, like it's very weird like that. But I will say having my parents who both did it, and my mom still like does comedy on like the weekends and at night. They like very much prepared me for that reality of like, nothing's probably going to happen if anything is to happen, it's not going to happen for a while. And also you have to work hard, but there is an element of like just luck about the whole thing that isn't a reflection of you at all.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Luck definitely has a big factor. You never know who's in the audience also, you know,
exactly.
Especially in a place like New York City.
Exactly. And that you can be in a packed out room where you do really well, but like no one's seeing it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
And then you can be in like a small room and it turns out someone's there. It's like so crazy.
And that's the good thing about social media. It allows, you know, comedians to, you know, record some of their, you know, stand up material and be able to upload it to like Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, whatever.
It's completely changed a lot of my people I know too. Changed how many people watch your content, how many people follow you and like interact with you, and then that also leads to more stuff. So that's actually been like a huge game changer for comics in New York, I think, at least for like my friends and I.
Yeah, definitely. So I gotta ask, so your parents were doing comedy, like, so they started back in like the 70s or 80s?
80s, I think. Okay. How old are my parents? I think it was 80.
Wow. So did they like meet like big comedians that weren't like stars at the time, like when they were also like trying to make it?
Yeah, I think so. I think my mom worked with Adam Sandler.
Oh wow.
Yeah, and I think I'm sure they knew other people from around.
That's awesome.
But yeah, they were kind of in that pool.
Yeah, that's awesome to see that. So how would you describe your style of comedy if you had to explain it to someone?
Oh my gosh, it's so funny because someone asked me this recently and I was like, wow, I think I told them I was like, loud girl yelling. I don't know, like,
that's funny.
I'm pretty much just a loud girl. I don't know. It's a little obnoxious, like high energy, a little obnoxious, but also I think I try to get my point of view across. It's not low energy, that's for sure. I think it's very like in your face, but I think also like very female perspective oriented. Is that
good? Yeah, I think that's a good way to explain your comedy, from at least from the amount of content that I've seen so far.
Yeah, I think that's what I'd say.
And where can people follow you? Just check out your material and also just keep up to date with everything that's going on with you.
Yeah, so I think my Instagram is what I'm most active on. I don't know, is Twitter closing? Are we all off Twitter?
I think so. I don't even know anymore.
Right, exactly. I'm there. But I think TikTok I'm on. And I think my username on everything is my name, Molly-Kornfeld.
Okay.
So that's where all of my stuff is. I think sometimes people message me on Instagram like, oh, where can I catch your shows? But I post everything on my Instagram story. That's always where I'm like, this is where you'll see me. This is where I'll be tonight. That's another thing is I think in comedy in New York, sometimes you're booked like last minute, like day of or day before. So I don't have like a calendar it's not like I'm on tour, you know? Yeah. So it's like, oh, by the way, I'll be here at 10. I just picked the spot up, you know?
How often does that happen? Like that you get a gig like the day of?
Oh, or a lot, especially on the weekends. Yeah. Wow. And especially if I don't have anything, I'm very much like, I'll reach out to people who I know have shows and I'll say, oh, do you need anyone? By the way, I have like free time tonight.
Nice. That's good. Yeah.
But I send that email send that text to like 5 people and then I end up having to run around. So it's like, I'm a creator of my own stress.
Sometimes I do the same thing.
Right? It's like, oh no, this person hasn't got back to me. I better text everyone I know. Then I have like 3 places to be at 7 PM. I'm like, well, this is a horrible decision.
Everybody wants to respond at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh shit. Are you just like into comedy or like have you ever like dabbed into like acting or modeling or?
Acting. I took this very intense acting class in New York for comedians.
Okay.
But we learned like how to do Meisner acting technique. Okay. I'm not a great actress, but I'm fine. And I have auditioned I used to like freelance with some commercial agents. So I've done stuff like that. I think I used to act in high school and stuff, so I'm fine at it. I'm not great. But I think for a lot of that stuff, you sort of have to have representation, and I don't have representation right now.
You'll get that soon.
Oh, thanks. The things I go out for are more just like you heard it through the grapevine or someone you know knows someone who thinks you could do it. You know what I mean? Definitely. One of those types of things. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I act. I want to make sure I know at least how to act in case anyone ever does discover me for something. I don't want to get in front of a camera and like freeze.
Yeah, exactly. It's always good to have like those skills, especially, you know, improv and things like that. You know, it's always good, especially as a comedian. I can only imagine, you know, once you do get like discovered and you have a platform, there's so many like avenues for acting for comedians.
Exactly. I heard someone gave me good advice where it's like someone told me that they got on like a late night television show and they were so like excited, like this is what you've been aiming for, right? Mm-hmm. But then when they met, people after that happened were like, well, what else are you working on? Like, when are you going to do your next late nights? But like, it's you, when people find out about you and you get one thing, they sort of want to know what else you have in the pipeline.
Definitely. So
you have to know how to better represent yourself and like what you're working on and what else you can do. So I think about that sometimes, you know. It's like you should have a pilot idea at least in case you ever get someone wants you to write a pilot. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah.
Crazy.
That's something I want to do one day is write a pilot, but it's so much hard work. You know, you really have to be like dedicated to like really like sit down like with a piece of paper and a pen and like really like start from nothing, literally nothing, and try and create and develop something. It's like really hard to do.
And you're supposed to like follow, like I guess with stand-up it's like there you do follow like set up punch. I mean, these days you don't even really have to, but that's like sort of the formula. But to write a pilot, you have to like follow a formula.
Exactly.
To create like per episode and then also for a season, which just seems like so much crazy forethought. Yeah. I don't know if my brain works like that.
Yeah, you really have to be like thinking like 1,000 steps ahead while you're
writing. Right, exactly. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm definitely. Like, this is a lot.
It really is. So you do comedy. How many shows or gigs do you usually do, sets do you do like per week on average?
It really depends on how busy I am with my day job, because sometimes like during the week, I won't try to do as many just because if I'm, am I going into the office? Like, is it a big week for me at work?
Yeah. You don't want to get burnt out.
Exactly. Which I feel I do often, but, so I try to do most on the weekends to get like at least two, like I want to do like two a night and then maybe a couple during the week. Cause I want you, I'm trying to average like 6 to 8 shows a week, but which doesn't seem like a lot, but I think for me it is.
That's a good amount.
And I guess it also depends on like, am I doing a show where I'm like featuring at a club? Because then you only probably need like, that's like, that's your whole Saturday, you know what I mean? Or mm-hmm. Friday. But if you're doing like 8 minutes, you kind of want to get like on a weekend, you maybe want to get a couple sets in, like a couple reps.
Definitely.
But I know people who like do it every single night. And if they don't have a show, they'll go to mics. And I used to do that, but now it's like I'm more quality over quantity, I think. Also, I'm tired. But it's like I'd rather do a show that I know is pretty good, that I think will be like a good experience, or I definitely have something I'm working on, versus just doing like trying to get up as many times as possible for maybe like 3 minutes and running around, because I know I'll burn myself out.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Quality over quantity any day.
Yeah. I mean, other people don't do that, and like maybe I'm doing it wrong, but for my own like well-being and mental health, I'm like, I just gotta not just do it for the sake of doing it.
Yeah, you'll drain yourself out so quick.
Yeah, exactly.
Even doing 6 to 8 shows is probably draining.
Oh yeah, even if I sometimes I'll save it for one day, like I get pretty tired. I'm like, wow, that was too much to do for one day, and I only went to 2 boroughs. I'm like, that was a lot.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, have you dealt with the heckler yet?
Oh my God, of course, yeah.
What was the fun? Let me ask you this: what was the funniest thing that a heckler said to you so far?
The funniest thing?
Yeah, like the most creative thing. Like, oh shit, okay, that was kind of good.
I mean, hecklers have said things that then I've put in my acts because it's been funny.
Okay.
Let me think. One time, a guy was like, essentially, like called me fat.
What?
And I like turned it into a joke, and then so that was interesting. Yeah, it was so weird at a bar show. I was like, what? It's so weird if it's like a small room and someone yells out at you, because you're just like, what do I do in this situation? But then I used to do these shows. Oh my God, this is actually so funny because I did not know how to handle the situation. But they were like, when I first started, they were like marathon shows at a bar from 2 to 4 p.m. on a Sunday.
Okay.
But it was like at a bar. So there would be like 3 people who were just hammered and just watching these. And sometimes you'd go up twice and they wouldn't even know, but like they weren't paying attention. Mm. And I just remember like this one hammered guy went up and he just kept like commenting on my jokes, where I don't even know what these were. Like, it was so long ago, I probably wasn't doing the jokes right. But I'd pick like a random, I remember like one joke, I was like, oh, and then 7 years later, you said something like that. And he'd go, hey, I think it should be 8 years. And I was like, what? Like, he just kept yelling out stuff like that, which was not at all helpful, but just like,
no, definitely not.
The joke. And it was just this one man in the audience. And he workshopped my act with me for the whole 7 minutes I was up there.
Oh my God. That I fucking hate people that do that. It's like, you don't go to their job and fucking.
But at a certain point, it's like, I mean, what can you do? It's, yeah, I'm, you're
it happens.
2 p.m. on a Sunday, you're hammered. I'm like, you know what? Yeah, let's hear your ideas. Let's spitball here, buddy.
Let's go ahead. Let's do something.
Exactly. Yeah.
What's when the first time you got heckled? How did you deal with that?
Oh, I think I used to just like shut down. I think we're like, I don't know, because you just kind of like ignore it, mm-hmm. but then I think you have to address it because sometimes it's very distracting.
Yeah, I can only imagine just like trying to perform and then someone's like literally just in your like talking and that shit gets in your mind. Then you're trying to think of like your material and express that in a good funny way while you have some asshole just fucking commentating at the same time.
Sometimes I'm like, oh dear, I don't know what to say.
It's chaotic.
My dad always was like, always say, oh, that's why they don't have mics on the table. I'm like, it's a little stupid, but it does tend to like shut them up sometimes if they're like, hey, you're the audience, buddy.
Yeah.
But my sometimes if I'm on the road with my mom, because like we'll go all open for her because she like still headlines and stuff.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And if people, I remember like one time we were performing, oh my God, and this one guy, sometimes guys are just like, I'd fuck you. Like he just yelled out. I mean, thank you. I don't know what to say. And he kept like after he kept saying that like after every joke, and I wasn't even talking about that. Jeez. And I was like, my mom is in the audience, so if you don't shut up, she will come for you. Okay, she's very protective of me. I mean, I was like, my mom is a headliner, so you better shut it. She's watching you right now. I don't know. Say crazy shit. They don't know how to react. I'm like, all right, stop talking. But I'll use her. If my family's there, I'll be like, my family's here, so you have to be respectful. Which does it even work? I don't know. I still don't know 100% how to deal with hecklers. They do catch me off guard.
Even like till this day?
Yeah. It's just uncomfortable because sometimes you're in a swing of things and you're like, what are you doing?
Yeah, true.
It's like, do you address it or do you, because sometimes it's just drunk people talking loudly. So I don't want to, what if they're not, sometimes they're not talking to me. Do you know what I mean? They're just talking to each other. And I can't be like, address it. Cause then it takes away from everything else. I don't know. It's always like, is this a thing that's going to happen once and you just like kind of brush it off? Or is it someone who's going to be disruptive the whole time and do something? How long have I been up there? Like, is my set over in 1 minute and I just let it, or is it like I get up there and it starts immediately?
Yeah, you kind of have to like evaluate the situation in the moment, which is kind of difficult or can be sometimes.
And then sometimes you have to like come back to your set after that and it's like, wait, what? What the fuck am I talking about?
Oh man, that's a lot. Yeah, so I'm trying to think. So you've been into comedy for 7 years now. And
yep.
How many years have you like really taken it serious out of the 7 years?
I would say, well, I was hitting a stride where I was like very serious about it. Mm. Like right, like the 6 months probably leading up to the pandemic, and then I kind of took a break for maybe like three quarters of a year, because I moved back home. Like I wasn't doing comedy. I was like doing Zoom stuff every once in a while, but that doesn't really count.
No.
So then that was like a lull. And then 6 months later, however many months later, when I moved back to the city, I tried to get back into it. But then at that point, there were so many new people and you could only perform outside. So that was like getting back into that took me a minute. Okay. But now I'm on a very good stride again. So I would say like probably 5.5 of the years, but it wasn't in order. Okay. Like I was doing really well and then I stopped and then I did. And now I'm back like trying to do as much as possible.
Yeah, you're killing it. That's still a good amount of time. And, you know, I'm telling you, you'll definitely get your return on investment. I know. I know at times I can only imagine as a comedian, it feels like, you know, is my moment ever going to happen where I'm going to shine, you know, because it's so oversaturated, but you know,
yeah,
you'll definitely get noticed. It's just a matter of when, you know.
Oh my God. Wow. Thank you. What a nice pep talk.
Of course. I'm just being honest, you know. So do you have any upcoming shows like soon where people can catch you or?
I do. I'm gonna be in, let's see, I'm gonna be at Pete's Candy Store in Brooklyn this Friday, the Friday after Thanksgiving, at 7 p.m. But then I'm gonna be in New Jersey Saturday night at 9 p.m. at this place called, hold on, I'm looking it up right now.
No worries.
It's called the Dojo. The Dojo of Comedy. It's in Morris Plains, New Jersey. And I'm there Saturday night at 9. So I think that'll be really fun. There's a bunch of fun people on that show. They're my two upcoming this week.
Okay, awesome. So anyone listening that's in New York or Jersey or tri-state area, definitely go check out Molly. And again, Molly, where can people follow you and find you on Instagram and social media?
Oh, yeah. Molly-Kornfeld with a K. K-O-R-N. S-E-L-D. And that's on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, I believe.
Perfect. All right, Molly, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. And
yeah, of course. Thank you so much for having me. This was so nice.
Yeah, of course. Keep killing it. You're doing awesome.
Oh, thank you. I shall.
Keep it up.
Okay.
All right. Take care, Molly.
Bye.
Bye. All right, you're listening to On Air with JT.
If you are a business owner, brand, company, or anyone selling a product and you want to advertise on this podcast, email the show directly at onairwithjt@gmail.com. We are offering extremely low rates for a limited time. Once again, email the show at onairwithjt@gmail.com.